100 is the target. You still have 6 wickets in hand, and they're literally taking it to the final ball.
Well, that was Ravi Shastri, Sanjay Mandrekar and co trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear there. That's a pretty average game of cricket by any stretch of the imagination. Although, bowlers might like it because it was bowler-dominated, and we've got a bowler joining the show as we speak. Former Black Cap, of course, been around the traps domestically as well. Ronnie Hira. Good morning to you, Ronnie. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Sonny. How are you?
I'm pretty damn good, mate. 99 for 8, plays 101 for 4. Not your typical T20 international, is it really?
Nah. I don't know what you can read of it, to be fair. And then the batters struggled to get into, you know, second or third gear. And, I think it was 17 overs of spin bowled by New Zealand. I guess it says it all, really.
It does, actually. It shows a pitch unsuitable for that kind of cricket, from my way of thinking anyway. But spin bowlers yourself are thinking more and more in terms of their influence in white ball cricket, which I imagine you're enjoying, and it's putting the pressure on our stocks, though.
Yeah, it is. You see guys like Glenn Phillips and Mark Chapman bowling, and I guess once upon a time Michael Bracewell would be in that category too, but he's showing that he's a little bit better than just the part-time option for New Zealand at the moment. So, yeah, I guess they're just looking for options to take pace off the ball, and then, yeah, using those other 3 overs of seam. I guess if they could have found another slow bowling option, they probably would have used that as well and not gone to Ferguson, Tickner. I guess it was just one of those days, really. When you look at a scorecard, there's probably not too much you can read into it, but there are some sort of patterns emerging, I think, overall with New Zealand cricket and the way they select their teams.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to bring that up because whilst this is a T20 series, I think, to be fair, Ronnie, the major focus has to be on 50-over cricket going forward, and in particular in India. How do you think that we're placed there on the basis of the recent series, which did not feature, I have to say, Kane Williamson, Tim Southey, and hopefully a Trent Bolt might be available at some stage?
The Trent Bolt one's interesting. I can't see how he gets back in from all of the communication I've heard. It'll be a change in direction for New Zealand cricket to put him in, and then would set somewhat of a precedent for other players to get back in as well. So I think they'll have to negotiate that one quite carefully against what I would probably do. I'd probably pick the best available side I could to try and win the tournament. But I guess it does show you that we are probably stretching our depth quite thin when you've got guys who haven't played a lot of cricket playing with guys who haven't played a lot of cricket. You know, when you are coming through and trying to gain that experience, you need guys who have played, you know, 100-150-odd games around you who can help guide you through. But when you're looking around and you've got guys who have played, you know, 10 more games or 15 more games than you, they haven't been there and done that themselves. It's difficult to try and progress and upskill when you haven't got guys around you that have done it themselves.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I have to say, I'm firmly in the camp that if Trent Bolt is available, you must pick him. You simply must pick him for this World Cup. I know there are varying views on this, but it's not as if we've got a natural replacement for Trent Bolt. I mean, we just do not have that class waiting in the wings.
My opinion is the same. I'm just sort of looking at it from the context of New Zealand cricket. Like, if you look at it, how they've handled it so far, and the comments that have come from people who are selecting the team, it's evident that they'd have to change that opinion and structure to be able to then select someone like Trent Bolt. So I fully agree with you. I'm in that camp as well. I would just pick the best guys available to try and win a World Cup. But from the evidence that I can see and the people that have been selected, there has definitely been a change in selection policy. You've got guys opening the batting who have played 20 games of international cricket, but we're hanging our hopes on them to try and get us out of a bind when we've let one of our best white ball players ever go. I mean, you're looking at the top of the bowling order with Trent Bolt. You're looking at the top of the batting order with Martin Guptill. Now, if you look at how many games they've played together, how do we find the replacement not only in runs but also in experience and wickets?
So that brings up an interesting point. They hung their hat on the Finn Allen hook very, very firmly and basically said to Martin Guptill goodbye, and he said goodbye. How are you reading that situation now in terms of Finn Allen's form and his success rate?
There's a lot of pressure, and probably unnecessary if he was given some time to develop and under the watchful eye of someone like Martin Guptill to try and guide him about how you develop a tempo and how you, you know, try and develop shot selection. You know, Gup averaged 41 in one day across something like 180 games, not more. He's had the most entries for New Zealand, so you have to think that he's someone that could help guide a young batter like Finn and others around him to learn that. Like, Martin would have gone into the New Zealand team around guys like Scott Styris, around other batters, around that time of that era, and developed and learned how to do those types of things. But are we not doing that at the moment? We've just got, you know, Conway's come in, and if you think about it, he only started playing for New Zealand a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when he made that 200 at Lord's. But he's developed so quickly that we think that he's been there for a long time. He actually hasn't. So where are the guys to help educate and help guide these guys?
What do you think of how we're handling the Glenn Phillips thing? Where would you like to see Glenn Phillips bat in 50-over cricket in particular?
I mean, I quite like him, and he did quite a good job. I know it's a different format in the 2020, but he did quite a good job at the World Cup in the sort of middle order finishing games, and he's got power. There's no doubt about that. And I don't think that he would be the solution to go and open, if that's what we're talking about or that's the option. I'm looking around the other options that aren't within the squad at the moment. You've got guys like Tom Bruce, you've got guys like Will Young. They've had international experience and done quite well then when they've had the opportunity. So is it a case of trying some new stuff before the World Cup, or are they really just going with the 15, 16 guys that they've tried now? You know, Mark Chapman is another one who's gone in there and not really managed to score many runs. So I think there are a lot of guys around there that would be labelled fringe. But then when you take Kane Williamson out and you take, you know, Ross Taylor out over the last 18 months, you know, there's a lot of depth being tested here.
The other one of interest to me is how we're handling the role of Daryl Mitchell. He's been a top order player. He's been a closer. Where do you see Daryl Mitchell?
I guess when you've got Kane Williamson around, it makes it a bit easier because then you've got someone who can bat through. I mean, Daryl's shown that he can do either of those roles. He's another one that's got that power towards the middle to lower order. When you're looking at guys like Santner, guys like Phillips, Mitchell, and I think that's quite a strong middle to lower order when you think about it. I guess it's just the top three or four that actually bring them, you know, to think about using your resources. You want to use guys like that when you're 35 overs plus, but if they're having a bat in the 25th over, and they have to change their role, they have to be adaptable, and if they're playing that many balls, they're actually not playing their natural game. So it does make it a little bit more difficult when you've got, you know, guys like Finn Allen and guys around there in the top three or four probably getting out quite early and putting pressure on the middle to lower order before needed. So I would like Mitchell and Phillips and Santner to play the power game in the middle and then leave the top guys to try and bat a bit longer.
All right, let's look at the bowling attack then going forward. I guess we'd say that Santner's a given. You mentioned Michael Bracewell before. And Indian conditions, is he a given for you now?
He had to be close because he's shown that he can also do a pretty good job with the bat at times as well. And then I guess the toss-up is between him and someone like Sodhi. I mean, if you are going to bowl 17 overs of spin, then you probably need all three of them. But I don't think you're going to find wickets like that on every ground that you turn up to in India. So, it's one of those things, I think, in terms of, what sort of style are we going to play? Are we going to play, try and spin them out on wickets where it's probably not doing too much and then go on with one too many spinners and then have to bowl Sodhi, Santner and not Bracewell and find a six bowling option and bowl someone like Mitchell? Because I have noticed that he hasn't bowled as much recently, Mitchell, so whether they probably aren't going to use him as much, I'm not too sure. And then, yeah, it's difficult when you look around and you're not going to have Bolt there, who's still in the best one-day side in the world. If you look at the team of the year and also the rankings, it makes it difficult to see someone like him not actually being at the World Cup. And then you have to bring Saudi back in as well. So those would be your main options, I think, the guys that they're running with at the moment. There's no one in domestic cricket where they'll go, oh, cool, well, he's really putting the numbers up and warranting some opportunity. I think it's too late for that now.
Well, I think you're right, actually. I think from what I've been reading and seeing around the Super Smash about the Ford Trophy, etc., you are right. Unless they go for a Tom Bruce or a Will Young, etc., out of the blue, and it would be out of the blue, what we're seeing is what we're taking.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. And I think there are some sort of fringe guys that they've put in there, like Ben Lister. It's probably one of those cases that has played pretty well in the Super Smash and got an opportunity. But I go back to my point, like how much better would it be for someone like Ben Lister to have Trent Bolt around? Even if he was just a guy carrying the drinks and bowling with him in the nets and things like that, that would help him quite a lot. But those opportunities aren't there at the moment. And the guys have exited New Zealand cricket over the last 12 months, Neesham, Guptill, De Grandhome, Bolt, they've all exited for different reasons. But the outcome's been the same. So, you know, you're losing a lot of experience with those four guys in particular.
You do. I was a little bit surprised when, particularly in the 50-over series, they sent home Tim Southee, they sent home Kane Williamson to rest up for the test matches against England and prepare for them. The coach himself, the World Cup coach, Gary Stead, didn't stay in India either. I've got to say, in a World Cup year, in the host country, very surprising.
Probably even more surprising when you think that we're not a chance of making the World Test Championship final. So those games against England, although they're important for the individual players as a team, yes, we want to win the series, but they don't have any overarching result on it, if you know what I mean. You're right. You are right. Yeah. Why would they send back two of the key players? One is now the test captain, one is the ODI captain, and one is the coach. So there's three people who are in leadership positions who have essentially left the tour. And I know guys need rest, and you've got to rotate guys and give guys opportunities. I understand that, but you've got to pick your moments, and they'll probably turn around and say, well, this was planned from a long way out. And that may be true, it might not be true, but it sort of worked out that all three of those key personnel that are required on a trip in terms of like a senior opening bowler, your best batsman who bats at three, and then also your coach have left the tour.
Yeah, I find it remarkable, absolutely remarkable, actually, in terms of the timing anyway. The other thing of interest coming up, Ronnie, too, is the test series against England. How are we going to counter the rate of play that England are looking to come at?
It's $1 million question, or if you're Brendan, probably $4 or $5 million worth of question. It's difficult to see. I mean, even in slow conditions in Pakistan, they proved that they can still score at that rate. And I think in our pitches, where there's slightly more bounce, a little bit more pace, especially on days 2.5 to the end of the test match, there doesn't usually take any turns. So I don't see the pitches slowing down an awful lot. They don't deteriorate like they do in other places in the world. So I think that will probably suit them in terms of the way that they come at the bowling. But yeah, it's difficult to give you an answer on how do we combat that, because we just have to see what we do. I think it just had to be guys bowling short, sharp spells to try and keep them guessing and not getting the handle on one type of bowler. But yeah, there's a lot of firepower in that England batting lineup, and if they get in on a flat wicket, we could be chasing leather. Could be chasing leather all day, really. I guess it's exciting for someone like ourselves who can just sit there and watch and not have to be out in the middle and try and come up with these plans. But they are definitely changing the way that Test cricket is being played, that's for sure. And I think their A team has scored at 6 runs and over in an A game in Sri Lanka as well. So they are doing it all over the world, which is quite interesting. They are taking that blueprint and feeding it down to others around them to try and assist with that growth and that template of how they play.
Just had a text in, Ronnie, saying what is Ronnie up to these days?
I'm working, just normal retirement sort of thing. Just got out of cricket and started working. I work at a digital agency and in Auckland, and yeah, busy just looking after clients and growing businesses through digital advertising and marketing and things. So it's pretty busy to keep an eye on the cricket, and I've stopped playing now as well, so I don't play any club cricket or anything either. So just time with the family, but yeah, enjoy watching a little bit of cricket on the TV and doing a little bit of analysis like this from what I can see, which probably isn't worth an awful lot, but I enjoy it anyways.
It was worth plenty to us this morning, Ronnie. Great to catch up with you and get your forthright thoughts. All the best with your new vocation. And, you know, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Withy. Appreciate it.